Good morning. You're listening to KRBD's Morning Edition. I am Emma Atkinson, and here in the studio with us today, we have Sheila Kelly, the author of Treadwell Gold, an Alaska saga of riches and ruin. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are glad to have you here today to talk about the newest kind of development
yes.
with your book. There's been a play written.
Based on the book. Yes, yes.
And that is now playing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, in
we're right
Juneau.
In the middle of the performances in on Douglas Island.
Okay.
At the Perseverance Theater.
Fantastic, fantastic. So let's for people who may not be familiar with the book, tell me a little bit about that and how you came to write it.
Okay. I say Treadwell, a gold mining town. A company town at the turn of the century. The mine was discovered in 1882 and started. In 1899, my grandfather moved to Treadwell to be a machinist with the mine, and then my father and his two sisters were born there and raised in Treadwell. So I heard some stories about what it was like in this, I mean, a gold mining town. This is hard rock gold mining. This is not the Klondike.
Mm-hmm.
And that it was at one time the largest gold mining operation in the world. And my aunts described very gracious living. And they talked about this town having a country club. And I thought, this was intriguing. So this got me started on wanting to write this story.
And what did they mean by gracious living? That is such an interesting term.
Yes, well, because there was a swimming pool, there was a ballroom, there were orchestras, two orchestras and a band. They had moving pictures, which was unusual. Again, figured this is 1908 or
yeah.
so. And you think this was the kind of the first opening up of trade and tourism and all in Alaska. So here they are up on the frozen frontier in a gold mining town, company town, and they are living, you know, quite well.
Quite well, yes, especially for 1917.
That's right. They had a company store where they could get anything they wanted, like I say, from boas, lutefisk to feather boas or
wow.
Anything they needed. They didn't have it there, they would bring it up from San Francisco. So it was surprising kind of life they could lead. They had a water polo team and
oh my gosh,
a baseball team, a winning baseball team, and so it just was surprising. You figure early 1900s mm-hmm. that this kind of life in Alaska, which everyone thought was just the frozen north,
right? And then in 1917, something happened that changed.
Yes,
Douglas
yes,
forever.
That's right. So there was a cave-in and flood. And there were four mines in the Treadwell complex, and three of the four flooded and shut down, really. So overnight,
wow.
this happened, and that was 100 years ago. So what we're doing now, not exactly celebrating, but remembering the 100th anniversary of the cave-in and flood of Treadwell. And I wanted to bring the town alive, so I wanted to talk about it as it was at its height.
Wow.
And that's what the book was about, and that's what the play is about.
So tell me, obviously the book came out, you said, 9 years ago.
Yes, in 2010. So
2010, seven years ago, excuse me. What besides bringing to life this community, this town, why else what pushed you to develop it into a play?
Well, after I'd worked about 20 years researching, and I started out thinking I was going to write a story about the Kellys of Treadwell, my family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there wasn't enough about that. So I looked into other families and found a lot of interesting families that I interviewed. And then the town, a company town, was a very interesting phenomenon at
mm-hmm.
In the years of the sort of corporate or romantic, industrial romance and
mm.
all. So I spent a lot of time researching, which was quite wonderful. And after I'd done that, and I get the book published by the University of Alaska Press, did a beautiful job. It's a beautiful book. And, of course, then people say, so what are you working on now? Which is a legitimate story or a question for a writer. And I said, oh, I'm working on Treadwell the Musical. And that was only because I really had no answer. And so then the idea of a play intrigued me, sort of different genre. How do you present this story with? And then I worked on it, collaborated for a while, and finally hired a playwright to write a script very different to write, to go from nonfiction writing, like from the page to the stage, to go from nonfiction writing to a play, mm-hmm. to write characters with, you know, dialogue. So I commissioned somebody to finish off the play. I'm a contributing writer, mm-hmm. but I'm not a playwright.
Sure. So was that hard for you in any way to see kind of your story that you had, you know, created and put into this, put all this hard work into your book? Was that hard to see the person you hired to write a play take it and kind of mold it differently?
That's a very good question. And I think that anybody who wrote a book and then sees it made into a movie, mm-hmm. or a play struggles with the same thing. And yes, there were things that, because they have to conflate characters and kind of stretch the truth perhaps a little. And I would argue for the integrity of the story. And actually the playwright, she was quite wonderful about it. She was very respectful of, mm-hmm. my need for truth there, but also taught me that that truth can be kind of, there are themes and all in the play that are the same things that I emphasize in the book. So she is true to the story in that way.
And I imagine that must have been difficult in a whole different way, because not only is it your writing and your book, but it's actually the story of your family.
Partially, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that just must have been so interesting to see. Now, moving on to kind of the content, the meat of the play. I don't want to give anything away for those who are still going to go and see it, but kind of tell me about kind of the plot of the play.
Yes, well, this was something where the genius of the playwright immediately was evident, and that was she defined it. It takes place over 1 year, from the 4th of July, 1916, to the 4th of July, 1917. And in the meantime, in April of 1917 is when the cave-in took place. So another thing, too, is it really isn't about my family. The, mm-hmm. main family in there, composite characters and kind of conflated characters, is a different family that I interviewed at great length. So it was something to see her say it's – so there really isn't a lot of the details about my family. That would be, I'd have to write another play for that. And that was fine. I mean, this family illustrated the story, illustrated the points and all. So that was, I think she did a beautiful job, and Perseverance Theater has created magic on stage.
Wow, fantastic. So going back to kind of the actual caving in, mm-hmm. of the mine, I'm not from Alaska, so I know nothing about this. So tell me about that event. And obviously it was devastating for the town because it was a company town. But also, what were the effects on the people, I guess?
Right. Well, there were, in this town, there were 1,000 miners working. There were 1,000 people working for the company. And then another 1,000, kind of family and all of that. So this is a town, actually a town of, mm-hmm. 2,000. And totally there in service of the mine. So what happened, what had been happening is there were questionable mining practices, and the people knew that something was happening, that there were cave-ins that had started taking place really in 1909 or so, mm. and people would feel that, like explosions or so, and the land started sinking some, and power poles were leaning, so people, mm. knew something was going on, even though the manager would say, oh, this is all predictable, we have it all under control, don't worry. But the people knew something was going on. And eventually, I mean, it was a strange occurrence in that it wasn't like a tsunami, like the Gastineau Channel came up and washed over the town. It was the at a very high tide, in fact, an astronomically high tide because of the position of the moon and all of that, a stream of water came up across the beach and started digging out a sinkhole. So what happened was this sinkhole was made bigger and bigger. Water kept pouring in from Gastineau Channel as the tide came up. People stood around and watched it happen.
Wow.
And watched a couple of buildings drop down into the mine, into this hole and all. And over 2.5 hours, the mine, they did evacuate everyone in the mine. But people watched, and eventually the mine filled up with water. And the weakened pillars in the mine caved in, and then the water flooded through.
Wow. And so you said that everyone was evacuated. Were there any casualties?
Well, that depends on who you ask. Now, the company wants to say there was no loss of life. That was a matter of pride to them. However, one man was not accounted for, and the management insisted that he had skipped town because he had done that before and that somebody had seen him on the surface. But there was enough testimony to indicate that, no, probably he had been lost down there, that they couldn't get down, a hoist down, and so there was a coroner's jury that was convened, and they decided, in fact, he was lost, therefore his family got some insurance benefits. And,
wow.
And there were mules and horses that were lost, mm-hmm. but you still, most accounts of the Treadwell cave-in, you will see, they will say, and no lives were lost. But some locals will say, wait a minute.
What about that one guy?
Yes.
Wow. Well, that is just fascinating. Now, tonight, for those who are interested in hearing more about Sheila's story and her book and the play, you will be at the Ketchikan Public Library tonight at 6:30. So tell me a little bit about what's gonna happen tonight without giving anything away.
Well, okay. And this was, I put together a PowerPoint, is a show, because the images from Treadwell are really one of the most intriguing things, and that what pulled me into images of the town, of the miners, of the families, of life there, of the football team and the basketball team and the baseball team. So I have about a 30-minute show of all these pictures, and they're my family. I really feature my family. I get to talk about my family there.
Oh, good.
And so it's about life in Treadwell. My whole goal in writing the book and all was to bring the town back to life with the people. Yes, this technology and the mining of gold and all of these amazing things that were happening in this age of technology are fascinating. I know that history is made by the families that weave things together. Mm. So that's what I talk about, the families and the life, the church they go to and the school they go to, and the 4th of July, the contest, the all. So that's what I feature.
Wow. Well, that just sounds fantastic. And this is such an interesting story, and you have such an interesting story. So once again, you will be at the Ketchikan Public Library tonight, Sheila Kelly, talking about her play and book, Treadwell Gold, An Alaska Saga of Riches and Ruin, at 6:30 tonight. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I am in Ketchikan. Ketchikan's very special to me because the very first time I ever came to Alaska, I spent the summer of 1958 in Ketchikan with my aunt and uncle. One aunt, Honora Kelly Archbold, who was born in Treadwell but spent most of her life here, married to Archie Archbold, who was assistant superintendent of the South Tongass. So
wow.
When I just turned 16, and so I spent the summer here. And in fact, I was here on the day that when the Act of Congress granted statehood to Alaska. So
wow.
I am an honorary citizen of the state of Alaska, and I have my certificate right here.
Oh my gosh, for our listeners, she does have it. It is here. It looks very official and very, very cool. Will you be bringing that with you tonight to the library?
Absolutely. So I say Ketchikan's very special to me, and it was my introduction to Alaska, and Alaska really is the focus of my life and my writing.
Wow, fantastic. Well, thank you again so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you. I enjoyed this.
All right. And once again, that was Sheila Kelly talking about her book, Treadwell Gold, An Alaska Saga of Riches and Ruin. There is a play based on the book, now open on Douglas Island. And tonight she will be at the Ketchikan Public Library with a slideshow of some images at 6:30 p.m.